Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. And when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
God's people said,
amen.
We need the Lord, amen? We need the Lord. Little girl one time was going to quote, young people, children were going to quote the 23rd Psalm. And she got up in there and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. And she went blank. The Lord is my shepherd and he's all I need. I think that's what our song was today, amen? Thank you, Brother Scott. Thank you, Pastor Merritt, for inviting me to be in your pulpit again today. I count it an honor to be here in Calvary Baptist Church. It's always a joy to be in an old-fashioned Bible-preaching, Christ-honoring, Spirit-filled church.
Amen.
And I certainly enjoyed the choir. What a choir. In fact, the choir was up here. I looked around to see if anybody else was here. It was great. Thank you, choir. And thank you, musicians, for all that makes it possible for the church to be what it is. It helps so much to have good singing.
Amen.
So, but we're honored to be here. We were here 3 years ago. For those of you that may be visiting today, if I stumble a little bit over the scripture, be patient with me because my eyes, I've gotten macular. Macular, I was starting when I was here 3 years ago, 3 years in October, but boy, it's really gone downhill. And but anyhow, I'm still able to see a little bit, and I thank God every day for what I have left. Now, I'm going to have you turn in your Bible to Romans, the first chapter, in just a moment, but let me just add this word. Romans, the first chapter, when you have it, then we'll stand to read. But it's so glad to be here. How many here today are military-related? Military-related. Are quite a few of you? All right. I'm also a World War II veteran.
Amen.
And landed on Utah Beach in Normandy. and went across France under Patton and then landed, went through Battle of the Bulge. And by the grace of God, I'm still able to be here today. So. But anyway, I'm always joyed to be in a congregation that has a lot of military. And you're right outside the air. It's an air base, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm always honored to be close, or be in a church that's close to a base, or has a lot of folk in the church that are related in the military in that respect. When I pastored, I started Eastside Baptist Church in Denver. I'd been 5 years as co-pastor in the First Baptist Church in Inglewood, Colorado. And then we started a mission church not too far from our air base. Now, our air base has been out of business for a long time, so you may not even know about it. There may be a few of you that might remember Larry Air. Anyone remember Larry Air Base? Oh, you do. Okay. So, but anyway, over here. But anyhow, we started a church close to Larry Air Base, and we had a ministry among the Air Force people that it was just something else. In fact, one of the missionaries that you helped to support, I mentioned Sunday school, I saw his name downstairs on the mission board, a picture and a letter and so forth. Brother Young and his wife, they were saved as a result of our ministry there at Eastside Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. And then they've been missionaries now for many, many years in Taiwan and now I believe in Vancouver. So there again, a little tie, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? That's amazing. But I say all that to say this, it's a joy and honor to be here today. So you have your Bible. I want you to turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter. And I have my Bible, but because my eyesight is so bad, even the largest print is not large enough. And my daughter, who is missionary to Ecuador, is also my secretary, and she types up my notes. I told her Sunday school this morning when I got up here, I said, this is not just one sermon. And so I saw some people say, oh, praise God. But now the rest of what I've got left is one sermon. No. Not really. But anyhow, I'm just honored to be in a church that's missionary-minded. And we talked this morning, the essentials of missions in the local church. And I want to speak this morning now in the 11 o'clock hour on the motive for missions. And those of you that are visiting today, we're so glad. And I agree with what the pastor said a while ago, that or the song director, you come back next week and get some good preaching. And so... But and endures today, but it's good, and we're glad every person is here. And again, let me say on behalf of all the missionaries that you helped to support, several of them that you are supporting, that in years gone by, my wife and I have had the privilege of visiting them on the foreign mission field, like the Starewalls in Kenya and the Youngs in Taiwan, and I forget somebody else. I saw many names I recognized. But anyhow... Church, thank you for your faithfulness to the missionaries. And here, this is a pre-Sunday missions, emphasis Sunday, getting ready for your conference here in a couple of months. And as you look forward to another year, if the Lord tarries, God bless you in exercising faith to help to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. We are living in the end time.
Yes.
We are in troublesome times. In fact, I started to think about preaching a message on the second coming, the urgency of mission, because it's coming to the Lord and the judgment coming. But I feel impressed to go ahead and preach from Romans, the first chapter. But anyway, we need to be mindful of what we're going to do. There's an urgency to get done what we're doing for the cause of Christ. And thank you for what you do. And pray that God will use you to continue to get the gospel until Jesus comes. And that may be today. And if he does come today, you better be sure you're ready for his coming. Because when he comes, there is no recourse. You say, well, I'm going to wait till the tribulation. No, no. You're saved now in this generation or in this age of grace, the church age of grace. You get saved now if you hear the gospel or you'll be lost.
Right.
And we certainly encourage you to receive Jesus Christ. Now, Romans, the first chapter, I want us to read the first several verses and speak about our motive for missions, if that's the title. But it's basically the burden of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was probably the second greatest missionary that ever lived. The first one was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that that a missionary, the word missionary means one sent. The word mission comes from a Latin word mitto, which means one sent. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was a missionary. He was sent by God the Father to the sinful world to become the Savior of the world. Then Jesus said to his church, to his disciples, in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, you know, we talked about the commissions this morning in the four Gospels, but in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, he said, "As the Father sent me," what's a missionary? One who is sent. "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." And certainly you are to respond to the sending. Now the Apostle Paul was, I say, probably the second greatest missionary. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but it is biblical, it's scriptural. The Apostle Paul was saved as a reprobate and a sinful, wicked man. He was saved out of religion. He was saved out of hatred in his heart and soul for those that were believers. But God saved his soul and called him and sent out. He was a sent missionary by the church at Antioch. Now he's writing to the church at Rome. And I want us to just kind of get a little background of that when we get into the message. So you have your Bible, Romans, the first chapter. And if I stumble a little bit, please be patient with me. You have your Bible and you read and follow along. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now notice that very first, Paul, a servant. Verse number 2, which he had promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. Paul didn't go around trying to prove that he was risen. In this particular case, he declared him.
Right.
And we declare to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen.
And he is coming again, and we don't have to prove it. It is proven.
Right.
But we declare it unto you that the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached.
Yes.
Verse number 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience unto faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ? That was the church of Rome. It's also Calvary Baptist and Knobnoster. To all, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace, you don't have to wait till you've done something good or something and then die and somebody said, "I think he ought to be a saint." You're a saint now if you're saved.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Verse number 7 continue. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. May I just say, as we're passing by here, that by way of introduction, Paul said he was thankful to the church at Rome for their faith. He had not been there. But as he wrote, and he gave this introduction to them, in verse number 8, he commends them for their faith. Certainly, Calvary Baptist Church, we can say, God bless you. Thank you for your faith that is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your ministry doesn't stop right around Knobnoster. It goes to Kotzebue and it goes to Kenya and it goes around the globe. Amen?
Amen?
Thank God for that. Well, that's what Paul was, a commendation. Now verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer. Verse 10, making request, but if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, to come unto you. Verse number 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And now our message is going to be centered from verse 13 to 16. Verse 13, now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hindered, that I might have some fruit, that I might have fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Verse number 14, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to all that believe, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. And verse 18 we'll include it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold us who hold the truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's ask the Lord's blessings, and then you may be seated. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings upon this church. I am personally thankful, Father, for Pastor Merritt and his devotion and dedication to thee and to the call that thou hast given to him. And you've blessed him as being a good shepherd of the flock. And I pray, Father, you will bless the church totally, pastor and people together. And as they labor together to get the gospel out, I pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct them in all things. If there's any person here today, man, woman, boy, or girl, not absolutely 100% sure they're on their way to heaven, might this be the morning the Spirit of God speaks to their heart that they would come and receive Christ as a personal Savior, repenting of their sins and accepting the one who died for them on the cross and rose again for their justification. And we thank you for the victories. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I think when you look at this portion of Scripture, certainly you see that the theme of missions is the gospel. The theme of missions is the gospel. We talked a lot about that in the Sunday school hour. But I say to you, Dave, that without the gospel, there is no message. Without the gospel, there is no need. There may be humanitarian needs and medical needs and all those kind of needs. But as far as people getting on the road to heaven, they cannot get to heaven unless they understand and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, in a nutshell again, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Paul starts off here in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant. Now, Paul did not say, I am the big I am. He said, I am a servant. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. He was following the pattern of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He says in Philippians, the second chapter, in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a what? Servant. Jesus Christ made himself a servant. He left heaven's glory and came to this sin-sick world to serve. He came to die. And not he came to die, he came upon the cross. It was so wonderfully sung this morning in that first song. At the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. But he didn't stay on the cross. And that's why Christianity is unique to all religions of the world, because we're not serving some leader that is in a grave somewhere, right, whether it's in Mecca or whether it's in Rome or whether it's somewhere else around the world. We are serving one who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is alive. Amen. And this is what the world needs to hear. And this was Paul's message. So when Paul said in his introduction to the saints at Rome, he had not been there, but he was writing to them. He said, Paul the Apostle separated unto the gospel. Now you and I, as fundamental Bible-believing Baptist people, we believe in separation. We believe in separation from the world and all the other things which we'll not go into. But we also need to be separated unto something. The most important part of this gospel or this church is the fact that it is a gospel church. You are separated unto the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, I am separated, Paul the servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was sold out as a bond slave to Jesus Christ. Yes. And he was a servant of Jesus Christ, he was a servant of the church at Antioch, and he was a servant to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And then also I noticed in that introduction, when it said, Paul the servant of Jesus Christ, he gives to us a team. You know, no one person can do the job alone. There was a pain. When you look at, if I can find it back here in my notes, but concerning his son, verse number 3 and verse number 4, when Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then he said, unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then he said, unto the saints, there's a teamwork to get the job done. First of all, you have the risen Savior. You have the sovereign God who looks down upon us with favor when we're doing what he's commanded us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel as he gave his last command, our first concern. And I often say this, missions is not a choice, it is a command. Right. Mission of the church is not a maybe. Well, maybe. Maybe I'll give the card out and fit. It's not a maybe. It's a must. And mission is not done, it's due. We need to be mindful. But it's team. So Paul, the servant, the missionary cannot do the job by himself. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, that is the one that we labor for and with. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then to the saints at Rome. So you have the team, and you have, and it is the Godhead and the missionary that's called out and sent by the church, and then together we make the team. There is a little, what do you call when you take a word with four letters and then put a word onto it? Whatever it is. But you take the word team, together. Everyone achieves more. Team. Together, everyone achieves more. It's not one person giving the faith promise. It's not two people giving the faith promise. It's all together who are part of the church. Amen? It's not one person praying. It should be all of us praying. There are 26 missionary families on the board. Perhaps you have more. They all need one thing, and that is prayer. The Apostle Paul said, I remember you in prayer. He's talking about the saints at Rome. But the church is also to be remembering the missionaries in prayer. So that's Paul's introduction. Now, then Paul gets down to business. What was Paul's purpose of going to Rome? He was not going on a sightseeing trip. Paul said, when you get down to verse number 13, it's sometimes called the I Ams of the Apostle Paul. That I think it is the I Ams of Paul. But Paul was not on his way to Rome. He said, I have a desire to come to be with you and to see you. And I say to you again, it was not a survey trip. It was not a little short-term trip. Paul was from, he gives a reason why he wanted to go to Rome. And we'll see that in our message. So Paul was not on a vacation trip, not on a survey trip. He was there to do business for God. Right. Whatever the cost, he was willing to pay the price to get the job done. And that certainly is the true of our missionaries that are diligent in serving them. So we have then three things I want us to think of in particular today in the next few moments. I think, first of all, when you look at verse number 13, look at verse number 13 in your scripture. And if someone didn't tear it out of my notes, I'll get to it. Here it is. But in verse number 13, I see, first of all, when Paul says, I've got to read it. My mind went blank as blank. Did you ever get 90 years old and not a brain tumor, but a silent moment or something? A senior moment. So in verse number 13, what does verse 13 say in your Bible? Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now he was not talking to ignorant brethren, but he just said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. He said, that I often purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Let me just put a little thought in there. Every one of you that's involved in faith promise, and every one of you that is involved in training for whatever God has for you, teaching, preaching, missionary, whatever. Every one of you that's involved in faith promise and have been, and you're getting ready for another mission conference if the Lord doesn't come first, there's not a person in this room what the devil says, you can't do that. The devil says you cannot, you talk about faith, it's foolishness. No, no. If God's put it on your heart, it's not foolishness, it's faith. The just shall live by faith. So that's part of it, isn't it? So when Paul said, and he put this little emphasis in here, he said, I desire to come to be with you, but I was led hitherto. The devil will never stop to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Whether being in the Institute training for ministry and work, or whether it's in faith promise, better than faithful attendance, Sunday school teaching, bus driving, he will never stop trying to discourage you and defeat you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Or what you've been doing. So Paul said, I desire to come. That's the first point, Paul's desire. He said, I purpose to come unto you, but what let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also. So I say to you, first of all, the first thing I see in this text that Paul writes to the church of Rome, that Paul had a great desire. That desire was, as he said there, that I might have some fruit among you also. He desired fruit. Well, now what's fruit? Paul had said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, 17, not that I desire gifts, not that I need a love offering, not that I need this or that, but he said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And this is what Paul said, I desire to come to the saints of Rome, as I already said, not coming for a sightseeing trip, not even coming for just a little checking things out, so to speak, but he said, I desire to come to be with you that I might have some fruit among you also. As they had fruit among themselves, he said, I want to come and get in on the blessings of God. He wanted to get in on the drippings coming off the throne of God. They'll reach down and souls were getting saved. And even though there was persecution and people were being put to death, put in the lion's den, or put out in the arena of the big arena, being put to death. Coliseum. Yeah, you got it. And putting to death or slaughter, whatever, they were willing to die for their faith. And that's why Paul said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The world knew that, hey, there are believers up there in Rome that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and come heaven or high, whatever, we're not turning back.
Right.
Yes. And Paul said, I want to get in on it. I want some fruit among you also. I want to just join with you and the blessings of God. And I'm saying, beloved, that should always be our desire. We should, when we think about our faith problem, it's not how many dollars we can give, even though it's very important. And you exceeded your goal of last year's promise. Praise God. But it's not just money. That's to be translated into the lives of missionaries who are preaching the gospel, winning souls, establishing churches, and training nationals to carry on. That's what we want. We desire fruit that may abound to your account. We desire that there might be treasures laid up in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And that's a privilege.
Amen.
That's not a burden. Missions is not a burden. It is a blessing.
Amen.
But also, missions is not an option. It is an order. Missions is not a choice. You're in a New Testament church. What is New Testament church? A body of born-again, baptized believers. And you are following the Great Commission, the last command of the Lord. That's a privilege to be involved. He didn't call the unsaved to do it. He didn't call the Red Cross to do it. He didn't call someone else to do it. He didn't call Washington to do what you and I are doing. He called you, the church. That's a privilege. A privilege. Therefore, being involved in carrying out the Great Commission, our motive for mission, number one, is, as Paul said, I have a desire for souls, or a desire for fruit. Now, he learned that, and we don't have time to go into the details, but where did Paul learn the vernacular fruit? I think he learned it from on the backside of the desert, after he was saved and led down the walls in Damascus, and he was gone for a period of time, and the Lord was his instructor. I think Jesus taught him what he taught the disciples in Matthew, or in John chapter 15. Bearing fruit. And Paul said, this is what I'm desiring. Amen?
Amen?
Secondly today, not only did Paul have a desire, but he had a debt. Oh, that's what he said in verse 14. He said, I'm a debtor. Is that what your scripture says? I read from the King James Bible.
Amen.
I am a debtor, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And then he goes on, so as much as ready. So Paul said in verse number 14, I am debtor. Now Paul was not talking about consumer debt. Too many people have too much consumer debt. By the way, young people, for whatever it's worth. And if you're younger than 90, then you're young. But whatever, don't get into debt. And if you have a debt, get out of it. Now, that doesn't cost anything extra, but I can tell you it's a devil's trick. The devil will hinder you by you having, or you spending more money than what you're taking in. And the first thing you know, we got missions conference, and man, I've given my tithe, I struggle to do that. By the way, if you stop giving your tithe, you're in big trouble, because then you're stealing from God. If you're driving a car that's paid for with tithe money, that you're a theft. I mean, you're a thief. That's a theft. That's not what we're talking about today. That's just a little rabbit chase. But Paul said, I'm a debtor. He said, I'm a debtor, and I say to you again, not consumer debt, not debt that he owed to somebody, because he didn't. But Paul said, I am debtor. Why? Because Paul was a debtor upon the basis of the fact of what he had been and what he was now.
Amen.
Paul was lost, undone, wicked, religious, lost sinner. But God, in His mercy and grace, saved him on the road to Damascus when he was on his way to Damascus from Jerusalem to slay the saints. He's going to destroy that little body of believers over there in Damascus. But God saved him on that Damascus road. The whole story of conversion. And from that day on, till the day that his head went rolling off the chopping block in the city of Rome, Paul never steered away from his purpose. But Paul said, I'm a debtor. Why was Paul a debtor? First of all, because he had experienced the grace of God. Paul, and you and I, we are debtors today because of what we are, where we are. We might have been born in Saudi Arabia or Iran and 99% Muslim. And if you ever even hear the gospel and make any pretense of being saved, you're dead. You can't even, military men that are sent there, they're told you can't take a Bible. I mean, people have, what chance? Except by the grace of God, God has someone there that needs the gospel and they get the gospel and get saved. But I'm saying, the vast majority of the world today, of over 7 billion people, have no concept of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that He is the forgiver of their sins. You and I are born in America. And we can go to the church of our choice if you want to. But it's best to be in a church that's preaching the Bible.
Amen.
And you're here in a church that preaches the Bible. But it's a privilege that we're here. You are a debtor because of where you are, who you are, and what you have the opportunity of having. So Paul said, I am a debtor. I was a lost sinner. I was on the road to hell. We are debtors because we've been spared hell.
Right. That's right.
We are debtors because God's grace reached down and saved our soul.
Amen.
Yes, we are debtors. Let's never forget it. If you're unsaved here today, you are privileged.
Yes.
You say, what do you mean you're privileged? Again, you might never hear the gospel. I hope that I say enough that you understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation, being saved and put you on the road to heaven, is that you must put personal faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, your sin and the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the faithful one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the privilege. But the Apostle Paul, yes, he said, I am a debtor, but I must hasten. I want you to notice in verse number 15. Paul said in verse 15, I am ready. That's the third time that he says, I am ready, or the second time he said, I'm ready. So he was not only a debtor because of his salvation, not only because of his service, not only because he was spared hell, not only because he was going to go to a place where the saints abide, but he was also privileged to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Thirdly, this morning, not only Paul's desire and Paul's debt, but I want you also to notice his boldness or his determination. His determination in verse number 15, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Interesting enough, the word gospel, what's the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Christ. What does the gospel mean? It means if I want to go to heaven, that's the foundation of my salvation.
Right.
All the Bible, the whole Bible is the counsel of God, the Word of God, but it all starts with the foundation of the gospel in your heart and soul.
Amen.
So Paul said in verse number 50, I am determined, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. That should be our desire. That should be our determination. That wherever we go, every child of God, every member of the church, and friends of the church, your child should always have gospel tracts in your pocket. This is a little bit of the gospel sold somewhere. Give it out. Witness the gospel. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Now, when Paul said, and you already know what the gospel is, I'm saying to you, beloved, the gospel that Paul was ready to preach, it was not an adulterated gospel. It was not a man-made gospel. It was not a charismatic gospel. It was not a cult gospel. It was not a religious, false religious gospel, but rather the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Apostle Paul believed all of that. He was ready to be in Rome. And I said to you, when he said, I'm ready to go to Rome, that was a bold statement. So you see, when Paul went to the city of Rome, Rome at that time was probably recognized as the most wicked, licentious, ungodly city in the world. It was also at that time the world's largest city. But when Paul went there, that wicked city, when Paul went to that city, it was a devouring beast. But Paul said, I'm ready to go. It didn't matter. When Paul preached in Jerusalem, the religious center of the world, when he preached in Athens, he was mobbed. When he preached in the intellectual center of the world in Athens, he was mocked. But when he preached in Rome, he was martyred. Paul was willing to die for the gospel. And then, fourthly and lastly, I want you to look at verse number 16. In verse number 16, you have Paul's belief, or Paul's delight. What is the delight in all that we do? I think I've already related to it a bit. But you see, Paul's desire, I desire soul's fruit. Paul's debt, my debt is to give out my life for Christ. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am debtor because of what I was and what I am now by the grace of God. And then Paul was determined. I am determined to preach the gospel. He was not going to preach an adulterated, false gospel, but the true gospel. God help you as a church, and I know you will. As long as pastor's here, you're here, you can put her down. You don't have to apologize. You can go out and say, our church is a Bible preaching, gospel preaching, soul winning church. Amen. And you don't have to apologize for that. So, oh, you're one of those radical fanaticals. So what? I'd rather be a radical fanatical than on my way to heaven than to be a reprobate on my way to hell. Right. Amen. The gospel. But then I want you to know what is a great thing. Paul's belief or Paul's delight. Verse number 16. For, said Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I already said it. You don't have to apologize for the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. None left out. There's not some saved and some lost. I mean all that will believe. Yeah, there's some saved, some lost. But I mean all that will receive the gospel, that hear the gospel and receive it, they can be saved.
Right.
Amen. He's not willing that any should perish. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. Not the power of Washington, not the power of somewhere else. It's the power of God. Not the power of a denominational headquarters. Not the gospel of some denomination, what have you. But of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. And yet there's ignorance, great ignorance. There's great ignorance concerning the gospel. I shouldn't take time, but let me just take a quick moment and then bring you to a close. I like to go to the fair. Anybody ever go to the fair? You got one coming on this week, I think, in Sedalia. I used to drive over to Sedalia once in a while years ago, just to take a day off and run up there and enjoy it. But the best fair in days gone by, believe it or not, in my estimation, was the one right in Springfield, the Ozark Empire Fair. They used to have good fairs, and I'd go early in the morning because I like to go see the animals. I'm not crazy about going out there to ride a roller coaster and a Ferris wheel and all that stuff. And then you got all these little booths, you know. And there's a hacker out there, and he said, give me $1 and you get 3 darts and you can hit a balloon and win a teddy bear for your sweetheart. Well, I didn't have to give $1 and get 3 darts and hit a balloon and get a little teddy bear. I've got one I've had for 68 years. So I didn't go there for all of the fun stuff. But I did go to the animals, look at all the beautiful animals, cows and mules and what have you, even the pigs. The pigs even look pretty. But then I go into those two pavilions they have there. And I went into this one pavilion, and right in the very beginning, there was a booth there, several booths, not booths, but booth, little stand-like. And they're all over. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody got something for sale. And they got little cards for you to fill out, and you fill out the card, drop it in there, and they're going to pull your name out and give you something free. I filled out a million, never got anything yet. But anyway, there was a booth. It was a religious booth, a church group booth, a faith group. And I said, and I had a sign in the front, "Not ashamed of the gospel." I said, "Well, that's good." There were two ladies there. I spoke to them, I said, "Hey, I like your sign." I said, "The gospel, you're not ashamed of the gospel." I said, "What is the gospel?" The one looked at the other and said, "I'm not really sure." I said, "You got a sign, you don't know what the gospel is." Well, I'm not there to embarrass him, but then I just said, "Well, the gospel, death, burial, resurrection." And then I went on my way. The next one was another booth, and it was Seventh-day Adventist. And I said to the young lady, I said, "You know, there's a faith group up here who's got a sign out, 'Not ashamed of the gospel.'" I said, "Young lady, tell me, what's the gospel?" She said, "I've only been a member of the church about a year, and I don't have the slightest clue." I'm telling you the truth. That's what it said. Member of church, didn't know the slightest clue. I went to another one, and another one. Went to the Southern Baptist. They had a little cup of water. They knew the gospel. And then there was Child Evangelism. They knew the gospel. And then I went on around, and the last one, coming on around the circle there, the last one was a Catholic. And they had a board there with a lot of tracts, booklets. And there's two men in that one. And I said, "Sir, I have a question." And so he just stood at me and looked at me. I said, one of the faith groups here has a sign, "Not ashamed of the gospel." I said, "Tell me, what is the gospel, sir?" He said, he turned back. He said, "There's all that literature. Just help yourself." Now, what am I saying? There's ignorance. What is the gospel? Some people say the gospel is that you've got to, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be baptized. Some of them think you've got to join the church. Some of them think you've got to do this or that or something else. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Yes, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." It is the power of God unto salvation. And I tell you, it works. It works. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. When I mentioned already to you that I pastored a church, started a pastored church, Eastside Baptist Church, which was not far from Lowry Air Base. And we had a great ministry. We had a young airman that brought another airman who was an instructor, staff sergeant. His name was Jerry Daniels, Air Force man, brilliant person. And he was brought to the service. He heard me preach, and he got flat upset. He was a member of another faith group down in Florida, and he was a confessed, agnostic, thank you. And sometimes even when you get old, your lips, your mouth won't say the word right. He was confirmed agnostic, or he said he was. But he heard the message, and they had a young preacher in that day, and he used to have some fire in him. And anyway, he got that. That was me, by the way. The fire's about gone out, but thank God for what little I have left, and thank God for your patience. But anyhow, Jerry heard the gospel. He went home. And he told this young man that brought him. He said, "I don't want that." But he came back, and he came back again, and then he came on a Wednesday night. And Carlson, the young man that had brought him, he was singing in a choir. The choir rehearsal was after Wednesday night Bible study, prayer time. And Jerry's sitting back there, and I went back and said, "Jerry, why don't we just visit for a little while in my office?" "Okay." Because Carlson, when he came up to the choir, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I think Jerry's about ready." In other words, he could see ripe fruit. We went back to my office. In a little while, he trusted Christ. And he became on fire for God. In fact, the marriage, we even gave him he was there long enough, baptized, joined church. His wife came, got saved, and joined the church, of course. And he was instructing his men out there at the Lowry Air Base, which was a tech school. The guys came up from San Antonio, I think, up to Lowry. And he'd tell him, he said, come with me to church on Sunday, and there'll be some folks take you home for a home-cooked dinner. Man alive. They started coming. We had cars going. So it ended up, anyway, we bought a bus. Bought a little bus, painted it Air Force blue, called it Old Blue. And Jerry drove that bus out to the base, and he filled it up. It wasn't a 60 passenger, but I think a 28 passenger maybe, something like that. It was a bus, colored, painted blue, East Side Church on the side of it. And he filled up, bring those fellas in there. Not many girls in those. They were two or three girls would come sometime, young ladies, Air Force. Anyway, got saved week after week after week. We saw those young people get saved. What a ministry. All because, first of all, that Carlson, an airman, saved man, who later went to England, but because he brought Jerry, and Jerry got saved and got on fire for God, and God called him into ministry. He went to Baptist Bible College. He graduated, got out of the Air Force, went to college, graduated, and came back and did his internship with us, because we believe that if you're going to be a missionary, God called him to be a missionary. If you're going to be a missionary, you need a little bit of practical experience. I'm leery of fellows that get saved and say, well, I'm going to be a missionary and never preached and never won a soul and all and show up at your door and say, I'm a missionary. Well, that's fine, but what's your credentials? Anyway, Jerry had good credentials. And did his internship, went to Kenya. He's been there he's been there since 1974. So what is that, 41 years? 41 years, this is his 41st year there in Kenya. He went and started to work outside of Nairobi in a place called Eldoret, and that's where Steriwald is, by the way, that you support. And then he went from there to Nanyuki, another town up on the equator of South America, of Kenya. It's in Africa. And carved out. But I said all that to say this, desire fruit. Here's what he wrote. He wrote his prayer. This is a prayer letter of March 2015. That's just, what, 2-3 months ago, right? He said, by the amazing grace of God, 2014 was another great year here at the Kenya Bible Baptist Fellowship Fellowship of Churches. of churches. Salvations, 3,204. Baptisms, 882. Current number of active churches, 80. Total average Sunday school of these 80 congregations that reported, 7,790 in attendance. That's average. And the average attendance of each congregation is 97, all with national pastors. Where did it start? Where did it start? A local church just like this one. God called him. And he's still there, his wife's still there, and it's ongoing. It's not finished yet. And when he's finished, if the Lord hasn't come, it will continue. The same way as the work in Ecuador. It'll continue. It will continue when it's done right. And what you're doing is right. And that's fruit that'll abound to your account. Now, you're not supporting Jerry directly, but indirectly, he's a missionary of the gospel, and he's an independent Baptist, and so we are indirectly connected, right? It's part of what we do as a team. That's what you're all about. That's what, when your missionaries send their letters to you and you get the report of what's being done, that's your treasure. Now, let's close out. Forgive me if I've gone too long. It's hard to keep an old man from stopping. But I say once again, if you're here today, you say, I have no interest in all of that you're talking about. That's okay. That's okay. But what you do need to have interest in is, where am I going to spend eternity? Where the Africans are going to spend eternity, Ecuador are going to spend eternity, and where I'm going to spend eternity, but where are you going to spend eternity? Unless you put your personal faith in Jesus Christ, your eternity is lost forever. Lost forever. From the presence of God from the sunrise day by day, from the glory of the streets of glory, it's nothing but hell. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. He said, what do I do? We're going to stand and sing a verse of song. We give an invitation to come down to the front. One of our workers will take a Bible and show you from the Bible what it is or what it means to be born again, to be saved, to be ready for heaven. And if you're a child of God already, as you are, most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know. But if you're saved, continue on. Continue on till Jesus comes. Will you stand with me, please?